again the name of the hymn that we're going to be taking a look at on this Tuesday, February 24th, in the year of our Lord 2015, on Law and Gospel Worldwide KFUO Radio, is Lord Thee I Love with All My Heart. And it's going to be sung by Pastor Mark Smith.
It is. That's news to me.
Yes.
It is a beautiful hymn.
Yes. In fact, when did you say you heard it last?
I remember hearing it. I think one of the first times I heard it was at the funeral of Pastor Walter Hoffman.
Yes, he was
years ago.
Pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, and since fallen asleep in Christ. But yes, at that funeral, Lord Thee I Love with All My Heart. Now, it's pretty lengthy, even though it's only three stanzas. Was written by an individual named Martin Schilling, who died in 1608. So it's really a Reformation time hymn. And then it was translated by my favorite translator, Catherine Winkworth. And she really has the ability to translate, keeping the rhyme and this sort of thing. She died in 1878.
Yeah, that's a real gift too, you know, just to be able to translate.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, you're listening to the voice of Pastor Mark Smith, who was with me at the seminar that we had on Saturday at Emmanuel Olivet. Not as big a crowd because of the snow and such.
But a pretty good group of people there. We had to set up tables.
Yes. Yeah, we had to set up more tables. And you know what they talked about most after it was over? They really appreciated the big cookies.
Yeah, they were good. I grabbed one to go myself.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah, we had got them. Actually, Louise went to the store, and there were none left.
Ooh.
And she said, well, I thought you were supposed to have these out. She said, oh, we're just making them if you wait 10 minutes. So she got them right off of the grill or however they
were good.
Them. Yeah, they were. I like the macadamia.
Yeah.
They were mixed in there, and then there were a lot of chocolates. So, but we sure did appreciate those who showed up and had some pretty good videos. And were you there for Mr. Bean Goes to Church?
No, I missed that.
Oh, okay.
But I did get to talk to a lot of the people. Very nice group of people there. Very wonderful Christian people.
Yeah, and there were people from Illinois and from other churches around the area. But because of the smaller crowd than we had expected due to the weather, our good friend Pastor Mark Smith, Wes Reimnitz couldn't even make it from Springfield. They had 6 inches of snow.
So. Wow.
But God had a reason, and hopefully it's because we can have another one. And I only used just a few videos, so I got a lot more to do. And, long gospel is important, isn't it?
Oh, boy. It opens up the scriptures to us.
You're doing the words from the cross. Are you kind of putting in, for Lent services, are you putting a long gospel emphasis on them?
I always put long gospel emphasis.
I know you do.
Always.
Yeah. You really can't do without it if you want it to have a proper sermon. So let's, without further ado, because it is kind of a lengthy hymn, if you'll read the first stanza.
Okay. That's hymn 708. Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. I pray thee ne'er from me depart, with tender mercy cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share, yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in thee can nothing shake. Thou art the portion I have sought, thy precious blood my soul has bought. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word.
So, very obvious question right at the very beginning. Lord, thee I love with all my heart. Now, if I was in front of a seminar of people, I would ask, please put your hand up.
Wishful thinking.
Yes.
Wishful thinking.
Who loves the Lord with all their heart?
It's a tall order.
So is this kind of braggadocio on the part of Martin Schilling that he thinks he does?
In Christ. In Christ we love the Lord.
Oh, now you're making a...
In Christ. That's the only way we can do it.
In fact, I'm going to make another point, because the word is in there. Lord, thee I love with all my heart. What heart? In fact, we sing about it every Sunday. I'll start it off. You finish it. Create in me
a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
That's what we refer to, or Paul refers to.
Psalm 51.
Right? As the new man.
Uh-huh.
So from that point of view, if you're understanding that heart, then the new man does love God with all his heart. Mm-hmm. But the old Adam never loves God with his corrupted heart,
right,
so to speak. So we cannot understand God. He can't even speak the language. When Paul had that vision of heaven, he said he didn't know any normal words to describe it. It was so powerful. That's similarly, when God tries to describe things to us, he always has to use analogy. So for the people in that day, the heart was the seat where your love would come. In fact, we still use that today.
Right. Sure.
I love you with my whole heart.
Right.
And so it's a kind of a metaphor kind of thing. Yeah, my wife's birthday was recently, and so I went and got her a card. And
was it a heart? Was it a Valentine?
Well, I was thinking, but we had missed Valentine's.
Yes, it's not surprising.
Yeah. But it's kind of hard because I go to Dollar Tree, you get two cards for $1.
Oh, boy. You are a real clod when it comes to Valentine's Day.
Oh, no, I thought it was pretty nice. I got her a nice card. Clod, boy. So, and I always try and look for a funny one or something like that.
Sure.
But they're not as good as the ones you get from the main stores where you pay $3,
yes.
$4.
Yes, of course.
But I'd rather get her a card than get her chocolate that she likes better.
That you like better.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, sometimes. But be that as it may, I was talking about in the sermon that the same act can, from outwardly, looks good. Like you can give, two people give gifts to people. One person gives to his boss because he wants a promotion. The other one gives to his spouse because of the good marriage they have. So the first one is out of self-interest. And hopefully the second one isn't, because of the love that occurs there. But I was making the point that God never judges a work by its deed. He always is looking for the motivation behind it. And it's a hard thing for a lot of people to understand, but an unbeliever always acts out of self-interest in whatever
right.
they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the only other interest is Christ's interest, and they don't have that because they don't believe in him. But that was your point. Lord, Thee I love with all my heart. When you believe in Jesus Christ, that new man just always loves him.
Right.
It's just that even coming to church, your new man has the right reason to come. Your old man doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're always struggling with that old Adam.
That's right. Always struggling. That's Romans 7. Now, I find this interesting. I pray thee, never from me depart. So God will depart from us?
Is that why we're praying? We say the same thing about the Holy Spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We do not want his Holy Spirit to withdraw from us.
But why are we praying that if God promises he will never leave us nor depart from us? Or are we saying that God might not keep his word?
No. Our will is conforming to his will, I suppose.
Very good. That's a really good answer. Do you know that everything we say in the Lord's Prayer, we've already received?
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, daily bread, we get that every
day. Yeah.
You get
forgiveness
that every
day. Of sins.
Yeah, you're right. You go right through those.
Thy will be done in my life.
Right.
Yes, it will be.
But we pray in this petition that he may lead us to know this.
Yes. Now, that's really important. The point I want to make is prayer is not for God in the sense that he needs it.
Right.
We need prayer.
That's right.
I gave the example yesterday when our kids were real young. We'd pray before each meal, thank you, Jesus, for this food. In fact, that's what we did when we were together with the family on Sunday and the grandchildren. That's a prayer we had. it's not that God doesn't know we're thankful. He can read our hearts. But we need to train the children to understand that all the food on the table, even if mom brought it from the store and cooked it or dad bought it, the fact of the matter is it's all from God.
Right. All of it.
Yeah.
In fact, everything. Everything we need for the support and want of this body. Everything. Good rulers, good government, all that.
I would often, when I'm doing youth confirmation, I would put a loaf of bread, or I'd try and draw it on a blackboard. And I said, okay, how did that get to your table? And then we would start filling in the blackboard. For instance, it needed seed.
Right.
It needed good weather.
Soil.
It needed
good soil.
Peace.
Right.
Good soil.
Water.
It needed rubber. Tires.
Yeah, tires. For the road.
Cars. It needed gasoline.
Asphalt.
It needed a store. It needed a job. I mean,
all of
the
it.
Blackboard was totally filled.
Yeah. Just for a loaf of bread.
Yes. Yes. That's why in wartime, people starve, because a lot of times that stuff is gone. And that's why in the meaning of the Lord's Prayer, God asks for good government and peace, so that we might be taken care of. So when we say, Lord, ne'er from me depart, that's not a request because he could. It's a reminder to us that he won't.
Good point.
That's
well
how
said.
I like looking at it.
Well said.
And that's with tender mercy, cheer me. Okay, how else could we be cheered? That wouldn't be tender mercy. I would say, well, the very next line tells us, after tender mercy, cheer me.
Earth has no pleasure I would share.
Yeah. Now, well, how do you understand
all sorts
that?
Of earthy pleasures.
Yeah, earth has no pleasure I would share.
Well.
Share with whom?
Earth has no pleasure I would share without him.
Yes,
it's saying.
That's right.
Without him,
yeah.
Earth, I don't care. And you find this in people that don't have Christ, and yeah. they have the world by the tail, so to speak. They have all these treasures and pleasures of the, and yet they're unhappy. They can't find happiness. They don't
I
have
was
Christ.
Reading about people in China. You know, only 6% of people are Christian in China.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
And many of them don't even have a belief in God, and so they find their joy in earthly things.
Right.
Like buying the latest cell phone and such.
Sure.
But the point they made, it still doesn't satisfy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's such a void there where Christianity can fill that. I remember my mom's car was a 52 Meteor. And when I learned to drive, the first thing I did was put moons on. You know, those are those hubcaps that are really shiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put tassels around the inside. And then
and did fuzzy dice hanging from the rear view.
No, I never did dice. But what I did is I actually lifted the front up in the air with those special shocks. And I put three on the floor, her shift. And it was just hilarious when she would get in the car and go driving down the street. Here's this older woman driving this car that looks... Oh, I painted in the garage, but I didn't do a very good job. I did use spray cans, but it is hard to paint a car. Have you ever tried that?
Well, sure.
Oh, Earl Shives.
Earl Shives.
$29.95, I tell you, that was a good deal. Now I think it's $295.
Oh.
But the point I'm making, every time I put something on, I discovered I was having more fun finding it, buying it, and putting it on. Once it was on, I wasn't satisfied. I had to get something else, you know, in order to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, type of thing. And so that's where I learned, boy, it's really, you know, it doesn't really matter what your physical or temporal possessions are. They don't really give the joy that God intends.
You always need more.
You always need more. And so earth has no pleasure I would share. Like, for example, I didn't go around telling people, you should put those Moonies on your wheels because, boy, it really makes it look nice. I painted the tires black every week, and, you know, it was just ridiculous. Yay. Now, this isn't interesting. Heaven itself were void and bare if what?
If thou, Lord, wert not near me.
Yes. Isn't that something?
Yeah. even heaven itself.
Well, what's your favorite?
If Jesus is not there,
what's your favorite thing to do on earth? I mean, what do you really look forward to? I know you do running. I know you do other things.
I mean, there's a lot of things I'm interested in. I'm interested in military history, like Civil War.
Oh yeah, you do that. Mine's pretty obvious.
What's that?
I love eating.
Eating? Oh, well, yeah, eating's hard to beat.
Boy. And I'm thinking, boy, if I go to heaven and there's no food there.
That'd be pretty.
How can I be so happy? But this verse says, even if there's food there, if he's not there, you're it's not void happy. And bare.
That's right. Yeah.
And that one of the videos I tried to put on, and you mentioned that to me, and I couldn't get it on, remember, on Saturday?
Right.
I was trying to show the attitude of the Christian when he gets to heaven towards Jesus. And what it was a tremendous video sent by one of my listeners. It's about a dog, pretty good-sized dog, whose master comes home as a soldier from Afghanistan.
Oh.
And that dog is just jumping
crazy.
He goes crazy when he sees him.
That's always touching when you see those.
He jumps all over, and the wife is sitting in the car, you know, watching it. And one of the funniest statements she made, he says, boy, I don't even get that attention. But a dog, you know, just so loved that master. He kept jumping up on him and everything.
They're just devoted.
Run around in a circle and this sort of thing. My cat would never do that.
No, cats are.
They have a mind of their own. Boy. Be that as it may, though, that dog would not have been in the bliss he would had his master not returned home. And should my heart for sorrow break, okay. That occurs because, I mean, there's so many things that cause sorrow in this world. The death of a loved one.
Yes.
Maybe not achieving something that you were working towards. But listen, my trust in thee can nothing shake. That is something. Now, we're talking about the new man, the new heart. Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to be talking about why didn't Abraham argue with God when God told him to kill Isaac if Abraham believed the promise that Isaac would be a blessing? You'd think he'd at least argue.
He had unshakable trust.
Well, we're going to get to that tomorrow. But what does unshakable trust mean? That regardless of the path that God is taking you on, it will always work out to your
good. For our good. Yes. Romans 8:28.
Yeah. And just wonder about that with in chapel, Pastor Hartwig did a sermon, and it was also the day of Polycarp. And I don't remember. Do you remember how Polycarp was martyred?
Oh, I know I've heard.
I'll give you a hint. He was a Coptic Christian.
Oh, he was beheaded? Is that right?
Burned. And what happened just a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Coptic Christians.
They were beheaded.
Burned.
No, yeah. They were beheaded.
Oh, that's
right.
It
was the Jordanian pilot that was burned.
That's right. And there were some others who were burned.
That's right.
In fact, this morning they just kidnapped 30 more plus
Christians.
Is that
right?
Yeah. Kind of thing.
God be with them.
But it was a good sermon making the point. Why can your trust, does our trust in God nothing shake? Thou art the portion I have sought. Thy precious blood my soul has bought. So there's never a time that I'm not part of God. I'm part of his family at all times. Nothing can happen in my life that will ever shake that.
That's right. Ever since baptism.
Ever since baptism. That's well done. So let me read stanza 2. Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile. Let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee, Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord. In death thy comfort still afford. Now, one of the points I want to make here is what beguiles us
is false teaching, false doctrine.
Absolutely. I've often said the two most important decisions a person makes is who they're going to marry, because that's lifelong, and what congregation they're going to attend. Notice I didn't say denomination, because some congregations are more suited to preaching God's word properly and appropriately. We would wish that in the old days, you could go to any Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, you'd have the same liturgy.
Right.
Whether it was in California or New York. But now there's so many changes, and sometimes you're not fed properly, kind of thing. I know it's something our own denomination is concerned about. And yeah, the president
preaching,
of the
good
Synod,
preaching.
Good preaching.
We need to do more work on that.
That's right. Absolutely. It's kind of like Beethoven doing that hymn. It's really hard to put a sermon together to have the elements in it so that when it's over, a person will walk up to you and say, it sounded like you were just talking to me.
Yes.
That's the goal. And the other point I'd want to make is to bear my cross and follow thee. There isn't anything in this that says to help me if I have to have a cross. It just assumes we do.
Right.
And why is that? Why because do we all have a cross?
We do. We all have a cross to bear.
Yes. And that cross is, how would you explain it?
Well, the cross is what we bear distinctively because we're Christian.
Yes.
Because the enemies, the world, our own sinful flesh, the devil, are against us.
And a lot of times that can occur in the church. We've seen huge divisions in congregations, and a lot of times not over doctrine, but over personality, too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, the officials of our synod, boy, they have a hard job in going around and trying to bring peace to congregations. You really just have to have the right kind of an attitude there. But every pastor needs to be aware of that also. Would you read stanza 3, please?
Lord, let at last thine angels come. To Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see. O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace, Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Boy, what words. No wonder that was chosen for that funeral.
Oh, my. You
know, that last
stanza.
Yeah,
the last stanza particularly, that I may die unfearing. It reminds me, Jairus had a daughter that was dying,
yes,
went to Jesus, and then on the way to heal her, he got interrupted with a woman with the issue
right,
of blood.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I often wonder, what's Jairus? Come on, let's go.
Oh, you know. And then the people come from his house, say, oh, it's too late, don't bother the master anymore, she's already dead.
You know? Yes.
Oh, imagine how he must have felt.
Oh, but Jesus then says something to him. He says, do not fear,
yeah,
only believe.
Only
and
believe.
That's exactly what this verse is saying,
that's
that
right.
I may die unfearing. I mean, how many times have we had members who find out they have an incurable disease, and you really need to be with them and comforting them at that point?
Right.
They're scared and everything.
Right.
But at the point when they're finally lying in the hospice, they will, as one said to me, Pastor,
peace.
I'm going home.
That's
I'm
right.
At peace.
You're at peace.
That's amazing how that happens all the time. Yeah. I certainly don't feel like I want to die right now, even though I know I'd be in heaven and be. Paul's attitude, far better to be with Christ than here on earth. Of course, he was going through some tough times you and I don't go through. We aren't whipped. We're not put in jail. There's very little suffering that Lutheran pastors have in the United States of America because of their preaching of the message of Jesus Christ. I think maybe the only time it may have happened a little bit was during the times of slavery when they were, supporting freedom, things like that. But I don't know of any Lutheran pastor who suffered, was put in jail, or put to death because of the doctrine he teaches. Do you?
I know that there's pastors that, let me tell you, when they stick to their guns confessionally and theologically, sometimes they have a hard time. Sometimes they're this hire and fire attitude running rampant in the church these days. I hear a lot of stories about pastors that lose their position.
No doubt about that.
So
sometimes it's their fault.
Right. Oh, yes.
But sometimes it's because, for example, they won't practice open communion in the congregation. Look, we'll want everybody to commune. And so then.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the fault of the, both sides, right.
So, Wednesday, Lenten, what time and what's your service?
7 p.m. 7 p.m., and we're going through the seven words of Christ from the cross. This one will be. This very day you'll be with me in paradise to the repentant thief.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class and Sunday school. And Saturday, if you can't make it Sunday, Saturday at 5 p.m., we have a service.
Yes, unfortunately.
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
Unfortunately, on Saturday, you had to leave early because you had a church service.
That's right. That was 5 p.m.
All right, Tom Baker, tomorrow, Abraham. Why didn't he argue with God? God bless.
KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.